Today is Sunday, July 19th, 2015, and this...
I can't wait to get there. Hey, who knows how to play craps?
Duty, you have to be 21 to gamble.
Well, that's no problem. I'm an actress. I can act 21.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 512.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fantastic. Happy to be here.
Good.
Yep. All right.
Let's
so,
talk about you a little bit.
My favorite topic, me. Yeah, I thought we would start off by giving yet another update on my book, The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. I gave a bit of an update last week, but there's more. There's new information. Developments have
occurred
and things are proceeding nicely.
Right.
Yes, I'm very, very excited. It was a big week for the book and got it all done on Wednesday and off to the printer. And the proof came very quickly. Got that on Friday afternoon. And if you follow me on Twitter or Periscope, you may have seen me open the package and reveal the book for the first time as I saw it live on the internet. Technological magic. That was fun. I'm glad I did that.
Yeah.
Nice to share that with many of our listeners who are watching. And it looked great. I was very happy with it. Just found a couple little things we needed to change and got those taken care of and have approved the proof and ordered copies of the book. Did that this morning, bright and early. So I ordered enough copies for all the Kickstarter backers.
That's good.
250-ish, roughly, I think, who contributed at the level where they get a signed book. And then I ordered another couple hundred copies to have on hand to sell directly through the website. So I have no idea what to expect for orders. It's really a challenge because obviously I want to have enough on hand for anybody who orders them directly from me rather than Amazon or somewhere else. And yet I don't want to end up being stuck with a ridiculous number of books at the end. There is an end for all of us. We're all slowly dying. But, I mean...
How uplifting.
I know, right? I just don't want to be stuck with a garage full of books. So, rather than order a massive quantity, I ordered a couple hundred, and I hope that that's a good amount, at least for initial orders. Yes, we will be making it available in a few different locations. It's going to be available directly from me on a new website that will be... rolled out in a week or two. And then there's some other new stuff coming as well. There's new t-shirts. Same kind of thing. I ordered a pretty small quantity of the t-shirts because I have no idea what to expect as far as demand for those. But
yes.
I like them a lot, and I think people will like the 500 shirts. So, and if they sell out, we'll order more if there's demand for them. So there's also going to be the remaining beer koozies that I have left from the Kickstarter campaign. A few people have asked for those, so we'll make those available. And then I've had a handful of people ask if they could get the entire archive of shows, this very podcast, on a flash drive.
Yeah.
So I'm making that available, too, for the people who want to do that rather than individually downloading shows. So
That's cool.
The first 500 shows, and we'll have all those things available on our new store. And then the book is going to be available in several different formats. I've had a bunch of questions about this, so I thought I'd specify what how it's going to be available. Amazon will have it in paperback format for anybody who wants a printed copy. And it will likely be available from Barnes & Noble and other retailers as well. But that's kind of like secondary. Mm-hmm. It might take a little bit longer for them to pick it up. It probably won't be showing up on anybody's bookstore shelves because they have limited space for things like this, especially from self-published authors. Mm-hmm. But any physical bookstore could order it as well. I don't know why you'd want to go that way, though. You could just order it online. Ebook will be available.
Way to contribute to the demise of independent booksellers.
Barnes & Noble's not an independent bookseller.
They're a corporate behemoth. But I mean...
I would gladly make it available to any store that wants to put it on their shelf, but I don't think that they're going to, you know, do that. So
yes. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm just being realistic here.
I know.
The ebook will be available in all of the usual locations, Kindle, Nook, iBook, and Kobo. So we'll have those available. I have to do some work on that. That's one of the things between now and when I get the printed copies to send out. I have to whip the files into shape because there's a whole ordeal of getting all that stuff ready and making it look decent on an e-reader. So
every format has its special requirements.
Yeah, and it doesn't translate from like the printed files to the electronic files. The look doesn't stay the same, and it's a big pain in the ass. So that's what I'm going to be working on in the next few days, as well as something I'm going to start probably tomorrow or Tuesday, recording the audiobook. I have no idea how long it's going to take me to record the audiobook. Depends on the cooperation of our boxers and their ability to stay silent for a long period of time.
One of them is good at that. One of them not so much.
I know. I'm a little concerned with that. Like, and I don't want to have, unlike this podcast where I don't, you know, I don't mind the occasional background noises. Mm-hmm. With the audiobook, it's like
you want it to be a little more profesh.
Slightly. With the audiobook, I do know that it's going to go off script a bit, and I'm okay with that. Like, I will probably
interject a few things in addition to the text that's there.
And I'm hoping to record a couple sections when you're available, and maybe you could share your thoughts on some things.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
I think that would be fun. So that's the scoop. As far as availability, I don't have an exact date, but it looks like the copies that I've ordered are going to arrive at the end of July. So I've still got another almost 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And my first priority is getting all those out to the Kickstarter backers. So I'm going to be signing quickly and stuffing envelopes and trying to get all these things out as quickly as possible to you. And then as soon as I have all those in the mail, I will make them available from our store. And I think Amazon will probably take a couple days more. Things kind of with the self-publishing thing, it's hard to make it so you turn everything on at once and there everything is on sale. So it'll probably be over the course of about a week where all the different formats are available. Audiobook, like I said, depending on how long it takes me to record, that might take a little bit longer. But
you'll keep us updated.
I will. I'll keep talking about it. And I hope that I'm not going to drive people nuts talking about and promoting the book. I might do a thing where after I have the audiobook recorded where maybe we include a chapter on the show. Or maybe I'll put out a special show with
a chapter,
so people can get a taste for what the book
is flavor.
Like. Yeah, why not? It's good to give stuff away. So I might do some of that, something like that too. What else? Some people have asked if we'll have copies available at the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic in October. And yes, we will. I will gladly I'll bring a handful of copies. I think most people who are going to buy the book who are going will probably have it already. Mm-hmm. But I will have some books available there. And if you have a book already and want me to sign it, I can certainly do that. Although, like I said, I'm going to make signed copies available through our store too. So I don't know why anybody would want me to sign it, but that's the thing with books. That's really weird for me. I was thinking about that. I'm like, I'm going to be autographing something.
Uh-huh.
That's weird. I don't feel like I'm at any sort of level where I'm like, should be like, why would somebody want my signature on something other than for nefarious purposes? Or if it's at the bottom of a check or something.
Right.
So that's going to be weird signing things, but it'll be fun to do that and get those all out to people. Then the final question that I've had from people is, obviously because Las Vegas is constantly changing, what happens when inevitably something that's discussed in the book changes? And that will definitely happen. We're going to deal with that in a couple different ways. On the new website I'm putting together, there will be an updates page, and then I will have things that have been that have changed that are in the book will be listed on there. And then one of the advantages to self-publishing is you can kind of make changes. Obviously, if somebody buys a printed copy, they're not going to get a new printed copy.
Right.
But if somebody buys a printed copy 6 months from now, it might be an updated file that has some changes made. So I'm thinking maybe every quarter or so I will make changes and upload new files. We'll see how that goes. That's my plan. And the ebook too, probably quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Audiobook, I'm not so sure. But anyway.
Because there are some changes that just happened this week.
But they're not like happening today. So it's not like it doesn't really change anything. So things happen though. So yeah, that's the plan. But there's enough stuff in the book that is not going to change. It's just like, you know, pretty
like
static
your opinion
things.
Of Las Vegas Club, for example.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I don't see that changing too much. So anyway, that's the status of The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. It's coming very soon. First week in August is the most likely time when you'll be able to get a copy ordered for yourself. And as always, I can't say it enough, but thank you to everybody for the support, not only the Kickstarter backers, but also all the people who have been offering positive comments and just been so supportive through all of this. It's been really fun to have people say, hey, I can't wait to get a copy, and I'm looking forward to ordering it. And we've had new listeners since the Kickstarter campaign who have said, oh, I wish I would have been around for that. I would have supported it, but I'll definitely buy it as soon as it's available. So do appreciate that and look forward to getting it to you. And hopefully you'll be entertained and informed and amused and all that stuff. Any other thoughts on that before we go? You've had the pleasure of reading the book multiple times.
Yes, three.
And you said you've enjoyed it all three times.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I was very happy during my last proofread of it that I was like, you know what? I'm proud of this.
Good.
I'm good with this. I'm happy with it. I think people will enjoy it. And it's been a fun thing. It's been like crazy, really, to even get to do this. And I have our listeners mm-hmm. to thank for that. So thank you all so much. And that's that. Okay, let's move on to things other than me, shall we?
Okay.
I'm sick of talking about me, damn it. So let's talk about Las Vegas and all the things that we love and don't love there. Starting off with some news about Monte Carlo. It has been rumored for a while that there are going to be some additional changes happening there. Of course, they've been doing some remodeling as part of the park project that'll eventually open between Monte Carlo and New York, New York. There's been some new restaurants and the square footage in front of the strip is taking on a new look. There's some new restaurants and some different stuff going on at Monte Carlo. So the big news this week, which is just confirming some rumors, is that they're going to be putting in a 5,000 square foot theater. This is kind of in conjunction with the new arena, which is opening mm-hmm. next year. They're going to have like
a lot of different options.
Kind of an impressive performers. Little. Yeah, I think it'll be like an kind of a cool entertainment district. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have the big events at the arena, but then somewhat smaller events, this 5,000 seater they're building. This is taking the place of the theater where the Blue Man Group currently perform. No name for it yet. Don't know what it'll be called. We don't even know what the arena is going to be called yet. I think they're trying to sell off the naming rights on that. Blue Man Group, as a result of this, is moving back to Luxor, where they performed many years ago. Mm-hmm. And Jabberwockies are moving from Luxor to MGM Grand. So some shuffling of shows as a result. I'm very curious about this theater and what type of acts they will book in it.
Same. So how big is the Pearl? Do you know?
I don't
offhand?
Know. I'm not okay. sure what the seating
is
capacity
is. Like 2,500?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is probably closer in size to the Coliseum. I think Coliseum is in the 4,000 range, I believe. So I'm wondering if this is just going to be for touring events or if they're mm-hmm. going to try to do a
permanent show.
Yeah, well, a permanent on
or like an ongoing show. Nothing in Vegas is permanent. But
my hunch is that it's not going to be an ongoing show. My hunch is that it will be more like the Coliseum has now, where they have like four or five different artists that kind of rotate in and out.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I'd be completely cool with that, even if it's not somebody that I'm
just
super
more variety.
Into. Yeah. Then there becomes that question, like how many of these venues can Las Vegas support?
Right.
And how many different acts are there that you're going to be able to book that are going to continue to sell tickets? I don't know. But I would imagine we'll be seeing some more live music bookings,
mm-hmm.
kind of in the vein that we talked about last week when Diana Ross re-upped for another mini residency. It'll be fun to see what they do as far as bookings. And I'm sure this will take a while to build. I don't know what the projected opening date on this is. If the arena is opening in 2016, I would imagine this is probably opening in late 2016, maybe, or 2017. But the acts that are moving around are going to be doing so in the fall. I believe Blue Man Group is shutting down their show in early October and then reopening at Luxor in November. So there'll be about a month in between. I suppose they have to do some alterations to the theater there at Luxor to get ready for them. And that's the scoop at Monte Carlo. There's still, of course, persistent rumors about a larger remodel of Monte Carlo, including the rooms and possibly a new name, but nothing has been confirmed. And whenever it comes up in the Las Vegas press, the people involved generally say, well, we're tossing around the idea, but we haven't committed anything yet. Hmm. So I don't know. I think the Monte Carlo brand is probably not that strong to keep around.
Right.
I don't know. Depending on what they replace it with. I don't know. They could do like, they could really try to capitalize on the whole entertainment concept. I don't know what that name would be, but really focusing the name on the fact that this is a place for dining and drinking and shows. I don't know. Would they go the route of the Link and just call it The Park? That seems like kind of a weird name for a hotel.
I don't know.
Plus, there's a Park Hotel chain, so that might be confusing.
Yeah. I'm concerned that our dog is about to cause a ruckus.
Probably. That's what dogs do.
He has his face right up against my microphone stand, and he's growling at it.
Yeah. He's tired of us talking about Monte Carlo. So let's move on to Mandalay Bay. There is a rumor, not even, well, it's a very strong rumor. It's from our friends at Vegas Tripping. They have it on good authority that the former Mix Lounge at the top of Delano, formerly the hotel, is going to reopen. Well, right now it's undergoing renovations, so we know it's going to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
With a new name and possibly theme, it's going to be called, if this pans out, Skyfall Lounge. Skyfall, of course, is the most recent, I believe most recent, James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, so the question is this going to be a James Bond-themed lounge and bar?
Hmm.
I'm curious about that and what they would do with it exactly. Or would it just be kind of not really a themed thing, like, but more of like the spirit of, like, this is the kind of place James Bond would hang out?
Yeah.
Could go a couple different ways with it. So I'm very curious to see what they put together. And then Vegas Tripping also raised the question of whether or not this lends credence to some rumors from a couple months ago that Adele is close to signing on or has signed on for a 2-year residency with MGM Resorts. I don't know about that one. I'm not sure. So, yeah. so the reason that the Adele connection is that she sang the theme song from the movie Skyfall.
Right.
So Adele at this point in her tennis ball underneath the ottoman, is that what we're doing here? Sorry, guys. So Adele has only put out 2 albums, and her career is going very strong, and there's going to be a lot of demand for her when her new album comes out, which is supposed to be this fall. It was supposed to come out, like, late last year, and then it got delayed and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I see her at this stage in her career signing on for a 2-year residency in Vegas. The only reason I could see it happening is because she has a kid now, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So maybe she would do it because of that and not wanting to travel around.
Right.
It just seems like it would be unusual.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who is at that stage in her career, yeah, to not do a full-on tour behind the album, and to instead, although this would be, well, who knows? Who knows when this residency would be? If it would be like right away or a year from now, I don't know. I'm curious to see whether this plays out, but I really don't. I'm very skeptical of Adele signing on right now for that. What do you? I don't know. I'd see her.
I'd be in favor of it for personal reasons.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I don't know.
She'd make a lot. I'd go see it.
She'd make a lot definitely of money. The rumored price, the British press had it at like £26 million or something like that for 2 years, which I don't know what that is. What is that's like $40 million or something?
I don't know.
So I don't know. We'll see. I would love to see an Adele residency, but I don't see it. We saw her in Vegas at Cosmopolitan when she performed there, and she was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So time will tell. All right. Oh, such a joy having boxers.
Yes.
This is why I'm worried about the audiobook. They can't.
Right.
Little Max can't sit still for freaking 20 minutes. He's a barking.
Well, the reason
machine.
I had to get up and distract him is he's decided that the legs of the mic stands are now a toy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was chewing on mine. I'm pretty sure he was trying to chew on yours.
Welcome
and then,
to our lives, people. All right. Guns N' Roses.
He's distracted today, and as a result, I'm a little distracted too.
That's all right. There are rumors about Guns N' Roses. It's not even rumors. It's like, what is going on with the Hard Rock and Guns N' Roses? They have put up teaser posters at the Hard Rock with Guns N' Roses lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says, "All you need is just a little patience," which, of course, is a Guns N' Roses line from the song Patience. And it says on that poster that a new resort attraction is coming in September. So
my first thought was a themed bar.
Well, that's the thing. The signs are up at the shuttered center bar.
Mm-hmm.
Would they do a bar that's themed around one band, though?
I don't know. That seems weird.
It does. Now, it could be just they're using the song lyrics to promote. They have something new, because they've done that before, where they just take song lyrics. But they have a couple of them. That's the thing. And they're both Guns N' Roses there's another one with references to Guns N' Roses too. So, and what would a resort attraction other than a bar? What would that be?
I don't know.
Like, could it? I don't think they usually refer to their displays as like. If they were going to do like a big Guns N' Roses display, I don't think they would just call that a resort attraction. Some people have speculated it's another residency, but I don't think that's what they would how they would refer to it. And I don't know. I don't see them doing a residency in September. They would have announced it by now. And Tommy is on tour until, well, mid-September.
Solo tour, right?
Yeah. So I don't think it'll be that, but I'm curious whether or not this is actually like a cool Guns N' Roses kind of thing, or if it's just like, oh, it's a bar with two pictures of Axl behind it.
And some drinks named after Guns N' Roses songs, something like that.
I don't know. Anyway, there was some discussion about it on our Facebook group, and I'm always intrigued when it comes to the rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scoop. There's a new show downtown at the D called Aussie Hunks.
Huh.
Which seems to me like it's pretty much Thunder from Down Under.
Yep.
But downtown.
Yeah.
Same type show. Australian dudes dancing on stage without
what
shirts.
What do you mean by downtown specifically?
I'm not talking about their wieners, if that's I'm talking about downtown Las Vegas. Performing in the showroom at the D on, beginning on July 31st. It's a 75-minute male stripper show, and tickets start at $45. You get a free drink with your ticket, so that's a good thing. It's going to be a 10:10 p.m. show nightly, and right now tickets are available through the end of August, so I don't know how long this will be around, if it's just going to be a month-long run. If it does get extended, the big question is, will there be an unofficial VIMF event of presumably ladies going to see. Is this something you would be interested in participating in?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's best not to commit. We have a pretty full schedule for VIMF, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you want to go, have fun. I will be busy at the Sigma Derby machine or something else during that. I don't intend to. Not for me so much. No interest? No, nothing? You're kind of like, meh?
I'm not into the whole male stripper review thing.
Yeah.
I think I've gone on record before saying I'm really not a fan of shiny men.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe you'll change your mind. So that's available. Tickets are available now, like I said, July 31st through at least August 31st. And finally, there's a new bar and restaurant that I thought was maybe worthy of discussing because we like beer.
We do.
It's called People's Republic Beer Garden and Kitchen. It's open in the Hawaiian Village, which is that weird outdoor mall space between MGM Grand and Planet Hollywood that we walk by but really never go to because it's kind of shanty.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty good-sized venue. It's food-wise, they're serving burgers and pizza and salads and appetizers, mainly an appetizer menu. The other stuff, it's kind of a small selection of each of the other things, but they have a pretty good-sized appetizer menu. 32 taps according to Eater, but there's no details on what the selections are in tap. I did see the bottled beer selection, and that's shit.
Mm.
So bottled beer, it's all the crappy domestic bullshit.
Stuff you can get pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. And the prices don't really look all that great.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if this place, I wouldn't go out of my way for this place unless suddenly we get a bunch of reviews that say, oh my God, the food is amazing and the tap selection is great. There's too many options for beer now to go sit at the Hawaiian Village and drink.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather go to Yard House at Link, which, you know, their beer selection is way better than 32 taps. And I'm not that much of a beer snob where there's probably going to be one specific beer that they're going to have at this place that isn't available elsewhere that I need to go get. So, I don't know if anybody is dying to try this place. Please let us know if it's any good. But Hawaiian Marketplace, eh.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Village, I guess that's what it is. Is that what it is? Is it a village or marketplace?
Marketplace, I'm pretty sure.
Either way, it sucks. So, I'm sure someone will go and try it and tell us how it is. You can look at the menu. The cocktail menu looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, drinks were like...
There are a lot of places that have really good cocktail menus.
I know. And it's not like it's like, oh, this is a great menu and they have super cheap prices. It's like, well, I'm going to pay the same prices at any other place. So I think I'll just stick with the places I know unless I hear that everything is awesome. Then we must try it. But I don't see that happening. So there you have it. Not a big news week. A few little items there, some entertainment stuff, some speculation. But kind of a slow week in Vegas news. Oh, well. Let's talk about our friends at
FremontStreetBoss.com. FremontStreetBoss.com. FremontStreetBoss.com.
Do you have any Fremont Street Bar news?
I'm having some fucked up technical issues here. Let me see if this works again. No. My clearly labeled file, Viator theme that I work that I use every week has been replaced by the Fremont Street Bar song, mysteriously.
Huh.
Apple Music is fucking with me, and I'm starting to turn on Apple. This iTunes thing is pissing me off.
Yeah?
Yeah, they fucked up iTunes big time.
Oh, no, I haven't downloaded the latest version yet, so I'm a little afraid to change.
Yeah, they fucked it up.
I might wait until they come out with the next.
Anyway, Viator gives you more. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. So let's talk about Viator, our lovely sponsors, who deserve better than that. We had a weird thing where, I don't know, what about 2 weeks ago? Like,
yeah.
Approximately one third of the people that we know were all in Italy coincidentally at the same time.
Right.
People who don't know each other, presumably didn't run into each other. But yeah, all of a sudden my Facebook feed was just filled with people posting pictures and stories from their time in Italy.
Huh.
Very, very odd. But of course, this got me thinking about Italy, and I jumped on the Viator website to see what they had as far as stuff in Italy. They've got a ton because, you know, lots of sites over there.
Yeah.
You got a lot of historical shit in Italy.
Yes, you do. Historical shit.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. It's very impressive. And, one of the coolest aspects of Viator is that they frequently have VIP and exclusive tours and packages, and Italy is no exception to that. They have private viewings of the Sistine Chapel with a small group tour of Vatican's secret rooms. I want to know what they keep in the Vatican's secret rooms.
I don't think I do.
I'm guessing a shredder and some files, but I don't know. Breakfast at the Vatican with early access to the Vatican Museum and Sistine Chapel. So you can avoid the crowds, avoid the lines. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Exclusive Rome rooftop dinner and Colosseum night tour. It's always cool to see stuff at night. Yeah, they have tons of tours, skip the line passes, museums, historical sites, you name it. If you're going to Italy and you don't book through Viator, you'll make me sad. Let's put the guilt trip on all of our friends who are just in Italy. I think some of them actually did use our Viator
awesome.
Link. So anyway, we appreciate that. Whether you're going to Italy or Las Vegas or any major tourist destination this summer or this fall, Viator has you covered. They can make your experience way better. Check them out at Viator.com or download their apps. As always, if you're going to book, please use the link at 500bymidnight.com, and we get bonus points. Hooray. Okay. Facebook group post of the week. It's a July 16th post from Dorian. And I actually chose this before Dorian posted a super nice thing about how much he loves our show and how much he loves the Facebook group.
Aww.
This is purely coincidental. But Dorian had another post, in addition to that one, about the Dale Chihuly sculpture at Bellagio, the one that's right in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted a photo of that and just like what a cool thing it is and how he never gets tired of it. And it kind of, and most of the follow up comments were about Dale Chihuly art specifically, but I liked it because it got me thinking of all those things that there are in Vegas that are just really, really cool that you just kind of take for granted after a while.
Yeah.
And how like maybe we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bellagio fountains to some extent. How many times are they going off and we just kind of walk by?
Right.
And I always say it's the greatest spectacle in Las Vegas. It's the greatest free show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I fully take it for granted, but...
Other than you in the shower every morning.
After you've seen it, huh?
No.
After you've seen it a bunch of times, you do kind of like, oh, it's just there. You accept that it's there and it's always going to be there, which it's probably not. Are you saying I pee in the shower?
No, I'm saying it's the second greatest free show.
Oh, okay. I didn't make that connection. That was
never
horrible.
Mind.
So anyway, that's the thought that that Dorian's post inspired, not of me in the shower, but of all of those cool things in Vegas that make us love the place that we sometimes get used to and take for granted.
Yep.
So anyway, if you have any thoughts on Dale Chihuly specifically or anything, you can check that out. I will link to it in the show notes as always. We've got some phone calls, and I thought we would take a few of them.
That's kind of you.
I know. Starting off with one of our favorite callers, longtime listener.
To Michelle, this is Al from San Diego, breaking news. The Blarney Stone. The Blarney Stone from the D has been stolen. I repeat, the Blarney Stone from the D has been stolen. And what must have been like a Mission Impossible caper? I'm sure people came down from the ceilings and ropes. But hold on. I got breaking news. The Blarney Stone is back. It is back. And it is safe. And a guy put it on his shoulder like a pack of potatoes. That's how I got out there. But I was there. I actually decided, like, I heard about it Wednesday night. If you're on Twitter Wednesday night when the announcement came that they're done a fest at the D, every Vegas nerd was ready to start like a flaming torch carrying vigilante to go through town and back alleyways. That was cool to see that response, because everybody loves the D and loves Derek, and it's just kind of like, how dare they? I actually, when I decided I was going to spend an entire day at the D on Thursday, I was going down there by taxi, and I was kind of bummed walking in because I didn't know that it had been returned. But when I got there, I saw that I actually saw a person put the stone back on the pedestal and some security come around it. And then I started to see a couple cameras getting set up. So I was there for Derek's press conference. So, and it's online. If people want to see, they should check it out. It's pretty cool. He's just like, the guy had a few too many shots. It's Vegas. We don't want to get a guy in trouble for just getting a little bit crazy. So typical Derek coolness. Well, what was funny is I spent a good 6 hours at Uvar playing video poker, and just the bartenders and the bar backs and the security people going, hey, did you work last night? Did you notice anything? And I think found somebody who had been working last night. They were just like, how could you miss that? How do you miss a guy carrying the Blarney Stone out? But if you get yourself on to Fremont, I mean, if you've been on Fremont at night, you're not going to notice a guy carrying a rock. That's nothing. There could be a naked lady carrying a unicorn. The only thing you're going to notice is her boobies. You're not going to notice the unicorn. So this guy getting away with that is not surprising, I don't think. So it's kind of a funny story, I thought. And it was cool to be there and see it returned and all that good stuff. Got a few more thoughts on my trip. I'll call you back later.
So there you go. Al's confession to stealing the Blarney Stone. yeah. So yes, fortunately the Blarney Stone is back and all is well. I'm and they're keeping it well guarded, and I think they have some sort of, I think they're implementing some sort of better system for fastening a series of zippers and snaps to keep the thing down, I guess. All right. Thanks for that on the scene report, Al. We appreciate it. We'll hear more from Al shortly with some other exciting reports from his Las Vegas adventures. Next caller.
Hi, this is April and Ron from Cincinnati in the middle of a 3-night trip to Las Vegas. We're staying at Mandalay Bay, and something we wanted to comment about was Hussong's Cantina in the shops at Mandalay Bay. It's a place that is great if you are here Monday through Thursday. They have a happy hour from 3 to 6.
I like happy hours.
They have wonderful original margaritas.
I like margaritas.
Stuff here. They're normally $12 each, and they're well worth that. But that Monday through Thursday from 3 to 6, you can get them half price, which is great.
Cheap.
So you definitely have to get at least a couple free homemade chips and salsa. Or they have $3 appetizers that each have with that, like tacos, roasted corn, and I believe a quesadilla. Anyway, it's a great trip. Love the podcast. Off for some more gambling fun. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report. Yeah. We appreciate that. It's always good to hear good happy hour specials, food and drinks. We ate at Hussong's right after it opened.
Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Yeah.
One thing to watch out with the margaritas.
Uh-huh.
They do have one. I think it's called the original margarita or something. It is really tart.
Huh.
If you're used to regular margaritas that tend to be a little sweeter,
this is not it.
Yeah.
Good to know.
A lot of lime.
Yes. I would go there for something like this for appetizers and
drinks.
I probably wouldn't go there for like full meal again.
Right.
But yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't awful.
Somebody we were with have like something really bad though?
I think that was Keith who had the margarita that was really tart.
Oh, I thought somebody had something off the menu. It was a long time ago when that place opened, but it's still open and apparently it's still popular. And that's good. Cheap food and drinks. I can sign on for that.
$6 margaritas, giddy up.
Yep. All right, let's check in again with Al for an on the spot report from his trip while our dogs do that.
It is Yoda with a trip report.
Just kidding. It's not really Yoda. It's Al again. Had you fired up, Tim? He's small like you, but also like you, powerful. The Force is strong with you. So I just I wanted to talk about where I stayed really quickly. Cosmopolitan, I booked a wraparound suite, and I came kind of after 4th of July. I came July 5th. So So they had a lot of rooms to switch out. My wraparound suite was going to be ready at like 6. I'm just like, give me your basic terrace view with the fountain, which I did. And then this is kind of, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but after busy periods, like after, you know, when prices are good also, you know, like after New Year's or a big holiday, then they're like changing up a bunch of rooms. A lot of times you go into a room and stuff isn't right. And that was kind of like my experience, which no big deal, but I did have to call maintenance and have housekeeping come and fix a few things. They were totally cool. And I love that terrace. I mean, you're out there. It's got a nice breeze towards the room that you can feel all over your body. And, you know, it's just an incredible northbound view of the strip with all the lights. And it's just awesome. Like, people ask, you know, if they're having a bachelor party or want to get people together, that room at that price level is awesome for that. Did a couple things I haven't done before. One of them would be I did the $25 Harris Improv show, which I like. Here's what I liked about it. They had like 5 people seating everyone. And so when you come in, everybody got seated really fast. And those people that are hosting and kind of bringing people in, then they transform into your cocktail waiter or waitress. So drink service is fast. The show started right on time. 3 comedians, you know, grade C+, B- level, but good, solid. And it only was tickets tonight. It was a $25 ticket, but I actually got 2 for $25. So that's a pretty good 90-minute value right there. I recommend that for an in-and-out if you just want to hit a show and have some laughs. Drinks were strong. And like I said, I like places that get stuff done quickly, get you in and out. Also played the Gremlin slots. I'm going to have to give that a butt rumble of 0 out of 5. There's almost 0 butt rumble involved. I felt no butt rumble. And the game's kind of boring. Kind of like the movie. That cute guy with the white rodent with the brown is cute. That's about it. No good music. Nothing like that. Last but not least, Absinthe has a new gazillionaire, as everybody knows. But they've also updated the show with a couple new acts. About half the acts are there from the original performance and half are new. And these tap dancers that they have. And believe me, you know how strong I love tap dancing. They are incredible. They're jumping on people's tables, and they bring down the house and steal the show. But by the way, the original Gazillionaire guy was hilarious. The new one, I think, is better. I've now seen the show about 4 times. This guy is great. This is another great night at Absinthe. How can you go to Vegas and miss that show? I mean, you guys got to see that. You have to see it. Go for it. Anyway, that is Al from San Diego. And I got maybe one more call left in me. Bye-bye.
All right. The always colorful Al from San Diego. So now I take this to mean that he was on a Cosmopolitan terrace naked holding the Blarney Stone. I'm just patching together what I'm taking from his calls. So we did not play the Gremlin slots. I didn't even know. I don't think I saw those.
I don't think I did either.
They either weren't in the casinos yet or they weren't common. Oh, Jesus. This is the worst show we've ever done. what else? Oh, Absinthe. Tap dancing. There's a skill. There's a skill that's not in demand. So I'm happy that 2 or 3 people got work with their tap dancing skills in Absinthe, because who else, you know, is anybody clamoring to see tap dancing?
I'm not.
As far as your forms of dancing, that's very, very low on the list of things that people are clamoring to see.
I'm sure it takes skill, but it just, it's...
Oh, I didn't say it didn't take skill.
Exciting to watch.
Oh, and it's fucking annoying, all that fucking clickety-clackety shit.
Oh, you know what's even worse? Clogging.
Clogging. Clogging, it's, I'd say, a cousin of that. And what's that Irish dancing where they don't move their arms is...
Oh, like river dance?
That river dance shit, that's up there, too. All those can just go away. Nobody wants to see any of that. Okay, so that's dancing. Thanks, Al. We'll hear more from Al shortly. Dogs, you guys shut the fuck up. All right, next caller. I'm going to turn our mics off for this.
All right.
Michelle, Tim, it's Ian from Leicester in England. We're Vegasing in a 4-5-5 formation this year. 4 at Aria, 5 at Encore, and then we're on to Paris for the final 5. Aria, we think, is a super hotel to start off with. And I know you love the washlets, but I don't know whether you've seen the irons. there's a headlamp at the front. Now, that's probably because it's so easy to plunge the room into sudden darkness at the pressing of a wrong button. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to do the ironing, but this has brought ironing to a whole new level for me. So that was a nice surprise. Then we went on to Prime for our wedding anniversary. Lovely room, but it didn't quite meet expectations. I always think there's a lot made of, you can see the fountains, but there's a bit of a disconnect. You've got one set of music playing indoors, and of course the fountain's doing something completely different outside. So the steaks, unfortunately, were dry. They were lukewarm, typically being Brits, we didn't moan. And entry wine price is about $100, and amazing to see $100 wine next to your $32,000 wine on the same list. So unfortunate, great room, but it did miss the mark for us. A listener did ask, if you had 90 minutes in Vegas, where would you go? Well, ours is definitely Mon Ami Gabi. I think it's a chain, but it's certainly not a chain for us. There's none in England. We just love outdoor seating, just watching the world go by, people watching. And we've already had breakfast there. We've had lunch there, which was a good three-hour lunch, which are always the best. And we've had a dinner there. So it's super place, and we will be returning. Also agree that the best Bellagio fountain music is Time to Say Goodbye, although I wish they'd changed the name to Time to Say Hello, because there's myself and Lara, my wife, sitting there after being in Vegas for just 4 hours, both singing It's Time to Say Goodbye. We're now in Encore. Love the area, but I think Wynn Properties, they've got the ambience, they've got the music, the colour. They lift you up and cuddle you and give you a big kiss. That's what I think Wynn Properties do, and I just think they're fantastic. I know Steve gets some criticism, but the properties are just fantastic. I did inquire about the golf, because we do both play golf, but it was $300 each for a round. I know that's cheap, because it's normally $500.
Whoa.
But frankly, I could play at St. Andrews for less, so we've given that a miss. But I saw a Vegas personality, because I bought a shirt and wanted to try it on. So I went to the locker room, and I met the guy. I think his name's Michael Minge. He plays at the East Side Lounge.
Or something.
Nice chap, although the pictures of him in the elevator must be of his much younger brother. But I think we'll probably check him out at the East Side Lounge. Check out some Minge, I guess. We went to Mizumi. Cracking place. Great atmosphere. Waterfall. Good food, but probably best if you don't go hungry. It's one of those where you can pick at food and you sort of leave thinking, did I eat? But no, superb. Then we went to the Label at Palazzo, which is told to give a nod and a wink to old Las Vegas, pretty much like the Indigo Lounge at Bally's. Pretty poor, so went to the Lake of Dreams instead, and we had a toast to Tim as the frog appeared and sang a rendition of Lowrider.
Nice.
Great fun, and a great song, Tim. Anyway, only a fool breaks Tim's three-minute rule, and I'm pretty sure I'll be touching that 3 minutes in a minute, so I will check in and call you later.
It was 4 minutes, but we like Ian, so
mm-hmm.
Appreciate the report. I think it's Manji or okay. Monge. It's M-O-N-G, but I appreciate him calling him Michael Minge. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would be a slightly different show.
Yeah, it would be. Sorry that your experience at Prime wasn't good.
Yeah.
Bad, not great meat. That's too bad.
I love Mon Ami Gabi.
Yeah, it's a good place.
They have a location in Chicago, although if I were ever to be in Chicago, I don't think I'd go there.
No, same.
It's a Vegas thing for me.
Yeah. Is it just those two? I'm not aware of there being. There might be some others,
but
it's not
I'm
a huge
not sure.
chain.
Yeah.
All righty. Dogs have been temporarily disabled, and mm-hmm. Not disabled.
No. They've been sequestered.
Yes. Okay, so hopefully we can get through the next few calls without their disruption. We'll see. Next up.
Hello, 500 by Midnight. This is Mike from Canada. Just a weird little observation or learning that I had in booking my comp suite at the D, at Golden Gate. The comp suite, the comp, the resort fee or whatever it's called downtown, but they charge you for internet, which would have otherwise been included in the resort fee. So the lady seemed to tell me it was $10.99. I'm going to see what I can do about that when we get there. But that seems funny. I don't know. It seems backwards. But you think if you're getting comped, you're probably going to get comped the whole way. Probably the internet, too. But, yeah, I digress. Anyway, just planning my trip here on a Sunday, sunny day. Have a good day. Goodbye.
All right. That's not exclusive to them. I'm pretty sure that's fairly common. Mm-hmm. I think at Caesars, when we've been comped, the resort fee, it doesn't actually include the stuff that comes along with it. It varies by property, I think, but I don't think that's that uncommon. Hmm. Yep. So it's more like it's not really a comped resort fee. It's more like it becomes optional then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. All right. A couple more calls.
Yeah, it's Brian the Thinker. One more in my chain of reviews from my trip over the previous weekend. My wife and I ate dinner at Hakkasan, the restaurant, not the nightclub. I'm not nearly cool enough to get into a nightclub. Very good food. I mean, really excellent food. They had these little mixed trays of little dim sum pieces. Fantastic. I mean, artwork. You almost want to go in the back and offer yourself sexually to the chef, whatever the chef's preference may be, you know. Everything we ordered was fantastic. The service was great. The restaurant is beautiful. It's very dimly lit, very romantic. The seats are kind of sectioned off by wooden lattice work. So you'll have an area of maybe three tables, so a big table, a medium table, and a little two-person table. And you're, you know, cordoned off by this lattice. And then the next section is cordoned off by lattice. So you really can't see across the whole restaurant. It gives it a very quiet, private, nice, you know, romantic, huddled kind of feeling. I actually really enjoyed the food. One thing that occurs to me, thinking back at it now, was the food better than any Chinese restaurant I've eaten at in Los Angeles? Yes. Was it comparable to some of the best Chinese food I've had in, you know, maybe New York, which has really great Chinese food because it's on that side of the country? I know it's on the other side of the country. Huh? It has a large Chinese population, I'll say. Sorry. Bad geography, public school. Yes, you know, the food was exceptional. But when you consider that I could go to my local really good Chinese restaurant and get an order of, you know, a roasted pork for $8, or I could go to Hakkasan and have an order of really great roasted pork for $30, whatever it worked out to, you know, it's a little harder to justify the cost difference. My wife and I had, you know, I don't know, six or seven dishes that we shared between us. Some of them were very tiny. Some were a little bigger. Ended up spending $200 after drinks and tip and all that. So maybe a little more, but very good. Very much enjoyed it. One odd thing about the restaurant, they must hire their wait staff and their greeters from a modeling agency, because all of the speaking roles, you know, the hostesses who greet you, the waitress who takes your order, is all female workers. The men only carry food to your table and put it down and, you know, tell you to enjoy. But they were all just stunningly beautiful. And in these tiny little tailored outfits, I enjoyed it greatly. My wife wasn't quite so impressed. But very good restaurant. Even the music, it was nightclub music, but it wasn't too oomphy. It was, you know, I don't speak nightclub, but it was electronic music. It was dance music, but there was no thundering, headache-inducing bass line to it. Very much enjoyed it and would absolutely go back. One word of advice, it's probably better to go with a group larger than two people. The way the menu is designed, it really works best if you order a lot of things and everybody kind of tries a little bit of everything. And if there's only two of you, you'll get full pretty quick. So if there's four of you, you can ostensibly order twice as many dishes and have a little bit of all these different delicious, incredible things to eat. Yeah, so that's it. Love the show. Talk to you later. I think I have one or two more of these, and I'll look forward to hearing next week's show.
All right. Thanks for that report. Appreciate that. We have not had many reviews of Hakkasan, the restaurant.
Actually, so, it's awesome.
Sorry. So I wanted to use that. So we appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for that. And as far as the women who work there, a lot of look at the job ads for Vegas sometimes.
They try to hire models instead of servers.
Right. Yeah. They'll be, I think it's called like model waitresses or model servers. Yeah.
And then they can get around
They can fire them if they gain 3 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an article, I think it was about rehab and how...
Rehab!
Yeah, thank you.
I don't think I have that queued up.
How the... Especially the clubs, they lean toward the model description rather than server or waitress because...
And this is Michelle.
Oh, God damn it.
But we agree. Yeah.
Ah, shit.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
I was trying to...
Yes.
Rehab!
There it is.
Vegas mate.
Oh, God
Vegas
damn it.
Vegas mate. It's really great. Sure. No?
Would you make it stop?
Sorry. I can't... Fucking iTunes. I was just trying to play Rehab.
Sure, iTunes.
I was just trying to play Rehab and it played like your whole greatest hits collection.
Apparently.
I don't know how that happened.
Oh, good God.
I'm sorry about that. Like I said, I'm having technical issues today.
Anyway.
Now it's not just the dogs that ruined the show. It's me too.
Oh. I'm sure I have some part in it as well.
Okay, continue on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the summer clubs lean toward the model thing. And then there's a lot of competition. People will go in. I think they hire in like January, February, and they have you stand in bikinis so they can judge your physical appearance.
I remember seeing a line at, I think it was at Luxor. They were hiring for LAX or something. And yeah. I remember seeing a line of models.
And it's lucrative because you get crazy tips.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are ordering these giant bottles of champagne and other sorts of overpriced bottle service. And it's just like you can make crazy money. But you're not guaranteed a spot next year just because you were there last year because, oh, God forbid, you gained 3 pounds over the winter, you're done.
I think that might have been on the reality show that they did about rehab, too, that they had to, there was a lot of pressure.
They had to audition again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's an interesting world, isn't it? All right. Let's check in with Al one more time. Hopefully this will work.
Hi, Sheldon. It's Al from San Diego again.
What did he call us?
I don't know.
Had to go to book a stage when I'm at Cosmo just before they're closing it. So I tweeted that out, and Matthew in UK, who's awesome, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He's going to have a secret slot information agreement going on, which you can only get a knowledge of if you come to Vimp and buy me a drink. He's awesome, by the way. Anyway, so I'm in my room, and I tweeted that out. I'm going to head down to Boston Stage, and then Matt in UK types out, fantastic. That's when I hit my first Royal Flush.
I believe we were there, weren't we?
I think we might have
arrived right after Matthew hit that Royal Flush. Yeah. I remember hanging out with him that day.
I pop on Periscope, and I mean, I broadcast the whole thing. You go down the elevator. I get into booking stage. I'm like, all right. And I'm holding my phone up, like, which slot is it? And he's like, turn right. And there was a lady at the slot that I wanted, or the video poker that I wanted to play. And people are like, just tell her to leave. She's got better things to do. And for whatever reason, I like walked up to her and I'm like, I'm sorry, this is my left spot. You mind if I play? And she's like, sure. And so I sat down and I bought in and I'm playing a few hands. And I know there's a group of people near the bar, two of the bartenders and some guys in suits. And have you ever seen like a kind of a group of people and then one of them turns and makes direct eye contact with you? Well, that happened. And that this may be advice to people that want to pair. Not only was I periscoping me going down to the bar, I'm periscoping my play and going, which one should I hold? Which should I throw away? People are telling me, and I'm taking their advice. And that's probably a no-no. I think that's a no-no in Vegas. It's not allowed to call your friend. No phone a friend. No phone a friend in video poker. So I'm like, they started walking towards me, and I'm like, on the periscope, I'm like, my battery's dying. Gotta go. end result, I explained them what I was doing, told them I love booking stage. We had one last drink. I'm on this Twitter thing called Periscope. They kind of knew what it was. And so I wasn't up to anything bad. As a matter of fact, I'd done nothing but lose. And, I'm sorry. And they were pretty cool about it. They just said, keep the phone in your pocket for the rest of your session. And as soon as they left, I was just, read the sigh of relief and realize how stupid was that? Because yes, you cannot use Periscope and ask for playing advice, but maybe some casino should. Anyway, that's my final call. I had a great time in Vegas. Thanks for all your shows over the past 4 months since I've been there. Gave me a lot of things to do, and your callers are awesome. I mean, just so awesome. So much information. Love you guys. Can't wait to see you again. And everybody should come to Vimp if it's not going, especially if you're new and you're kind of timid about this. This is the most welcoming group of nerds you're ever going to meet. So you should go.
All right. There you go. So we've got a firsthand recommendation from Al to join us at VIMF.
Yes. Hooray. Looking forward to seeing you, sir.
I saw a very brief part of that Periscope thing. He was on his way to the machine at that point, and then I was losing the connection, so I bailed on it. But that's funny that security was all over him. All right. So before we go, our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week this week is, as you know, we have fun things going on with our dogs. This is not one of them yet, but somebody ordered a door scratch protector for $19.99. It's a thing that you put over part of your door so that when your dog scratches, it doesn't fuck up your door. I saw that. I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of thing we might eventually need, because at some point he's going to get around to doing that.
Probably.
Amazon's got everything. Anyway, if you're going to buy something at Amazon, please click through our link at 500bymidnight.com. It helps support the show, and it makes us love you more. Thank you to several people for PayPal donations this week. We have one that is... Actually, it didn't come through PayPal. It came to our P.O. box because dude doesn't want his wife to know that he's giving us money. Dave, it's not a karma donation because he's had bad luck following karma donations. Oh. So he's calling it a share the wealth donation.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave.
And we appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much. Jay with a karma donation, thanking us for all we do,
saying that
we make their trips better. His daughter is getting married, and that's eating up all his cash for October, so he's not going to be able to make it for VIMF, but hopefully next time around.
Yes.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Andrew, thanking us for all the entertainment and great info. I sent him an extra can koozie because he lost his at the bottom of a Minnesota lake.
Oh.
I assume at the bottom, or maybe it's floating on the top. I don't know, but he lost it, so I said, yeah, I can hook you up with a new one. He was a Kickstarter donor. And cool. He sent us a nice PayPal donation.
Oh, that was nice of him. Thank you.
Karma donation from Tim. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Lou with a karma donation. He said he was listening to the podcast on his flight. It's an impromptu trip because his buddy already in Vegas won roughly $13,000.
Oh, my gosh.
He posted a picture on our Facebook group of like almost a $10,000 slot machine hit.
Nice.
Very, very cool. So his buddy Jared sent he and his wife tickets to help him celebrate.
That's so cool.
That's very cool. So, hey, I hope you guys are having a great time.
Yeah, have an awesome time.
And finally, Rob with a karma donation for an upcoming Vegas vacation or... money for your swear jar. Do you have a swear jar?
I do not.
No. It would be...
It would be
full. You'd be broke.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that. It wouldn't work. So, but we do appreciate it, Rob. Thank you very much. All right. This train wreck is over. Thank you all for sticking with us here through barking dogs and technical issues and all this nonsense this
Gremlins.
Week. Yeah. Next week's will be a better show. Okay. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the place to send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions. And I'm vowing to respond to emails this week. I'm like 70 emails behind. I'm a month behind on emails. So you'll be hearing from me soon if you're waiting. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And finally, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.